Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Koinonia Church Message Library. Our hope is that today's message encourages you, challenges you, and brings you closer to Jesus. We are confident that God's Word is living and active and is relevant for us today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Koinonia. I welcome you as well to connect in our service experience today. I know you've been welcomed already by our worship team and into some great time of worship. You've been welcomed in our pastoral moments, and I just want to say welcome this morning. I'm glad that you are coming and connecting with us in something that's bigger than any one of us individually. And as I start the message today, I want to give a shout out to KCA, Koinonia Christian Academy. It's our Christian school from JK to grade 8. Did you know we have a Christian school that connects right here at Koinonia? We do, and they are an amazing school, amazing staff and leaders and teachers, amazing students. And I'm highlighting them today because Rebecca and I got to sit in on their speech night this past week. One evening this past week, the leaders, teachers organized their speech meet so the students wouldn't miss out on the opportunity to recite their poem. And there were poems given by the cutest little ones. There were scripture memory that grade 3-4 students had memorized and spoke out confidently. And I heard lots of different topics highlighted. And the JKSK class, they did an ode to grandparents, and it was fun. They dressed up like their grandparents, and they talked like their grandparents, and it was so fun. And even Mrs. Navziger put a filter on, so she looked like an old granny. It was a good night together to share and be reminded of how intentional our school is. Our school only has 3 weeks left. And can I ask you to pray for parents? Absolutely. Parents, yes. Pray for our students. Pray for our staff, our teachers and staff. Because our school, like many other organizations, has had to pivot this year. It's had to persevere through many challenges. And it's had to call upon God for extra patience. That's real. And so I ask you to continue to support our school. Pray for us because we have a principal transition happening. Our principal, Pastor Dave, has been serving for 20 years and he's stepping back. And Cecile Turner is going to be the new principal starting in July, formally and going forward. And so I also want you to know there's room at KCA for your kids or for your grandkids. Or your nieces, nephews, your neighbors' kids. There's room at KCA. Enrollment's open now, and we'd welcome you to come and be a part of something that God is doing. During the speech meet, I heard grade 3-4 students declaring scripture that they had memorized. That scripture is going to stay with them for their whole life. I heard the expression of what Queen Esther must have felt like. One of our students talked about Queen Esther in the role of Esther. I learned about compassion and loving your enemies out of a real-life story from World War II that moved me to want to love people to the depth that God calls us to. One of our grade 7 students talked about the Bible and said this is her favorite book, because she's starting to learn about the deep truths of Scripture, God's truth that applies to her life and transforms her. KCA is a place that's not perfect, that's not untouched by the effects of our times right now, but it's a place that brings hope because it centers on Jesus Christ as the source of hope. Rebecca and I, when we participate, we're reminded, like we remembered this past week, we're reminded why we sent our 4 kids there so they could experience God's truth and connection, so that our kids would learn about God's word and how powerful it is. And we're coming back to the word this morning in our message. We're coming back to Ephesians 3 in our series on Reshaped. Have you been staying with us as we've been studying Reshaped? I'm asking God to reshape us through the teaching of the book of Ephesians. This is chapter 3 I'm going to introduce this morning. And we're going to carry on you're going to hear more of it through the month of June as well. Actually, we've got a guest speaker coming to bring us a message on Ephesians in June. So look forward to that. But did you hear my message last Sunday that I brought about chapter 2 of Ephesians? And I showed you and shared with you some of my grandfather's Bibles, Well, this morning I brought one of my older Bibles that you can see has been stuck together with some duct tape. This Bible I actually received, I believe, when I was in junior high, I was 10 or 11 years old. And I received this from my parents, and it was one of the first renditions of the New International Version. And this Bible traveled with me to camp. It traveled with me on camping trips, canoe trips. It traveled on different trips around the world that I've been able to go on. And the duct tape is actually a result of its second binding wearing out. One of my relatives, who has an extended relative in Ireland, has a book publishing plant there, or did when I was younger. And they saw that my Bible was well used and falling apart. And they said, can we take it and rebind it for you? And so they did. And they put my name on the front. But you could see that it got worn out again. Do you take a hold of the Word of God regularly, daily? Get into it and invite the Spirit to speak. We're going to see how Paul talks about that the Spirit reveals God's truth, brings clarity to us from Ephesians 3. Today, Ephesians 3, I want you to hear about Paul. He's the man. You're going to hear about the mystery, and we're going to look at the mission. That's where we're going today, the man, the mystery, and the mission. Because I want you to hear how impassioned Paul was to make the eternal news of Jesus Christ known to all people, regardless of whether it brought him suffering or he could do it freely as he roamed the countryside. You need to hear from Paul today. So grab a hold of your Bible, whether it's the hard copy or it's a technology copy. You got it on your phone, device, whatever. Open up to Ephesians chapter 3. Because I don't want you to just take my words for granted. I want you to see them in the writing that we have translated of Paul's heart. Because as we come to chapter 3, verse 1, Paul the man, Paul reveals to us in verse 1 that he is a prisoner in Christ Jesus. He's in prison in these moments that he's writing this letter that you and I are reading right now and saying, how does this apply to us? Well, today I want to talk to you about what got him into prison. Actually, the person he was with when he was arrested. I want you to hear from Paul, but yet how passionate he still was for you and I to understand the revelations of God, to understand the truth. Come with me to Acts 20. Because I'm going to back us up a little bit into the story surrounding Paul and a friend of his, Trophimus, who was a Gentile, who actually was part of the stirring up that led Paul to being arrested and then put in prison. Acts 20, I'm going to read from verse 17, because this is the context of Paul connecting with the people of the city of Ephesus, the believers and non-believers. The first experiences he had that years later then led him to write this letter from prison back to the Ephesians. So right now I'm reading from Acts 20, and here's some of the activity that led up to Paul's arrest. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time that I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility." Remember that word. We're coming back to it. "And I served the Lord with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews." Remember that context. "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful for you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house how I have declared to both Jews and Gentiles that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus." Paul makes it very clear that he has made it known to the people about the Lord Jesus and that people should repent and trust in God. Now, from chapter 21, I'm going to pick up at verse 27. Paul is now in Jerusalem. Listen to what happens to him in Jerusalem. "When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Men of Israel, help us! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple and defied this holy place. They had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him to the temple area. The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were there trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops, and the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. And when the rioters saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul." It's not done yet, almost. "The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then they asked who he was and what he was done." It's kind of like, we'll shoot and ask questions later. "Some of the crowd shouted one thing and some another. And since the commander could not get at the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. And when Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great that the soldiers actually had to carry him on their shoulders. The crowd that followed kept shouting, 'Away with him!'" So you can see some of the tension and turmoil that was stirred up in Jerusalem while Paul was there sharing about repent and turn to God. Put your faith in the Savior Jesus. You can hear that the Jews stirred up some of this trouble because they had seen Paul earlier in the city of Jerusalem with an Ephesian Gentile, Trophimus. And so they assumed he must be guilty and he must have brought him into the temple. I talked about the temple last week in chapter 2 and how there's now to be no division between Jew and Gentile. But in this time, they were upset and they felt like Gentiles made the temple unholy. This is why in this letter we're reading, when we get to chapter 2 and 3, Paul is saying, no, there's no division. Because Jesus has torn down those boundaries, those barriers, those walls of hostility. He's destroyed them. And out of his love and compassion, he's brought unity to all. So we come to look at Paul, who's under house arrest. He's awaiting trial before Caesar. He's in Rome in this stage of what we're reading and seeing. But what led to this uproar was that the Jews didn't believe a Gentile could receive Christ and be made holy. But Paul had said, no, I'm going to declare this truth to all of you. So Paul's the man. Now look further into this chapter, verses 2 and onward, because I want you to see Paul talking about the mystery. And the mystery he's revealing is Jesus. In verse 2, Paul says, "I know you heard that I am to administrate God's grace given to me for you." He's saying, I am to administrate this mystery. I am to share this mystery. The word administrate in the Greek actually has the idea of stewarding the mystery. Paul was to take care of the mystery. He was to handle it intentionally. Actually, the meaning has the idea of the implementation of strategy. That's what Paul was to do with this mystery. He was to intentionally strategize how to share it so that the whole world could come to a saving faith in God through God's grace. And he talked about grace in chapter 2 as well. But this is why Paul systematically went on 3, some say 4, missionary journeys all north of the Mediterranean Sea, all through that area of Asia Minor and Macedonia and then into areas of Greece. This is why Paul traveled there, to make the mystery known. He had a strategy that he wanted Jesus to be known by the whole world. You see, Paul speaks in verse 3 about how this mystery was made known to him. He was given the revelation and understanding of it. Do you know of Paul's revelation of the mystery that came to him about Jesus? You can actually go back to Acts chapter 9, and you can read about when the revelation came to Paul, and he began to understand it. Paul was humbled. He was on the road to Damascus. Paul was a religious zealot. He thought he knew everything. And he thought anyone who believed in Jesus was wrong and should be murdered, actually. And so he was on the road to Damascus one day to issue some murderous orders to have people killed if they said they put faith in Jesus Christ. And he came face to face with the spiritual presence, the manifestation of Jesus on that road. He was humbled to the ground. Those who were with him were struck deaf and dumb. They couldn't speak. They couldn't hear. They were frozen in the moment. Paul was actually blinded by the revelation of the glory and the presence of God. He was humbled to his feet. He was humbled in heart. This is why Paul now speaks to the people in Ephesus and to you and I with such passion, because he believes the mystery is all centered around Jesus Christ. And he said, the mystery of God has been made known through his son, Jesus. Believe it. I didn't believe it one day, but believe it. Believe it. That's what he's getting at. He said, I've declared to both Jew and Gentile, both Jew and Greek, that they must turn to God and repent and put their faith in Jesus. That's what he said to them when he was in Ephesus. And he repeats it for us here in chapter 3. The mystery has been made known. Verse 5. This mystery hasn't always been revealed, but it is revealed for our time and our generation, Paul says, and for every generation that follows, like you and I. Paul said the key is Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who unlocks this revelation and makes Jesus understandable, makes him known to you. Do you want to understand God more clearly? Have faith in Jesus. Trust as you have faith in him that God's Holy Spirit will bring the greater revelation and understanding to you day by day. As you read his word, the Spirit will make truth understandable. As you pray, the Spirit of God will resonate in your heart. As you submit to him, God will bring you a clear mind of understanding to understand God's what was a mystery, but as he really wants to be made known, clear and simple for us. Paul says the outworking of the mystery is that Jews like Paul and Gentiles like you and I become co-inheritors of the kingdom of God. There's no favored children in God's family. He favors us all. He draws us all together equally, regardless of our background, regardless of what family we were born into, what nation we were born into. God says, no, through my plan is through Jesus to reconcile all of you to me so I can receive you all equally together. As far as God's concerned, there's no division any longer. That's why Paul could say it so emphatically that Jesus broke down the barrier walls, removed the hostility. So accept one another and love one another. I'm wondering today, is that what you believe? It's clear that Paul believes that. It's clear that it's in God's plan that we're all equal and loved by God. But do you believe that today? That's something to submit to God and ask him if there's any stirring in you that, oh, that person couldn't be loved as much because they were born on that side of town or in that country that we know is the religion there is not Christianity. Or maybe something stirs in you to believe that somebody can't be accepted by God because they just don't seem holy. They say things or they drink things. And you say, surely that couldn't be a follower of God. I don't think God wants you to sit in that seat of judge. He is there to say, through my son, I love you and I accept you. I want all to be in my family. You see, in Paul's day and age, some of the battle and challenge was about, were Gentiles to be, were they acceptable in God's kingdom? Were they acceptable in the temple court? There was debates about, well, they haven't been circumcised. That was a big debate because that was part of the sign that you were committed to God, was the men were to be circumcised. Maybe I think circumcision was as controversial in that day as vaccines are becoming today. Some are saying, well, you don't really believe in God if you had to go get vaccinated because God's all you need. You don't need medicine. And others are saying God has given wisdom of how to use medicine to prevent illnesses. Maybe the circumcision was their vaccine of the day. And there was lots of dispute then. But Paul speaks into the midst of it and he says, but God broke down hostility. He wants to bring unity to us all. Friends, do you know that there are born-again, spirit-filled believers that are on different ends of the spectrum about many different issues that cause tension today? Whether it's about government and whether government's overstepping their authority, or whether it's about reopening plans, whether we agree with them or not, whether it's about vaccination, should we have it or not, there are spirit-filled, faith-filled lovers of God through Jesus Christ on all ends of the spectrum. How are we going to get along and love one another so that the world can see that our God is a God of love? This is some of the heartbeat that I believe was in Paul in his time and context, but it relates and applies to us today. Paul is saying the mystery was hidden for ages, but it's revealed to us, and it's Jesus. The mystery is made known. Do you believe the mystery of Jesus being made known can draw us to God and actually empower us to love one another equally? If you're contemplating this and you're like, oh, Brian, you're just stirring up my emotions, you're getting me uncomfortable, I want you to focus on Paul for a moment. Because Paul was in prison as he wrote and shared these letters and the mystery of God. God entrusted this man to make some of the spiritual puzzles clear to his generation and to us. And what I want you to notice about Paul is his demeanor, his character, his heart. What was clear about Paul's stature as he was a follower of Jesus Christ was his humility. He didn't rally protests while he was in prison in Rome. He welcomed prayer. He said, pray with me. How many times in his letters that he wrote from prison saying, pray with me, even while I'm in chains, he said. Don't be discouraged by my situation. He wasn't downhearted. He was still faith-filled. You see, friends, I believe humility is essential for us. Paul said, I became a servant of this good news. I am a prisoner of Christ. He said, no, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. It's not the circumstances of my day that have put me in chains. I'm here because Jesus Christ has allowed it, but so that I can use this platform to speak from it. The truth humbled him to blindness on the road to Damascus so that he could humbly walk in worship of God the rest of his days and even speak in humility, saying in verse 8, I am less than the least of God's people. I don't believe Paul was diminishing himself, saying, I'm dirt, I'm nothing. I think he was looking at the revelation of Christ and saying, oh my goodness, I've got to be the least in all of God's kingdom because the glory of God is so extreme. Can I ask, is this how you show up as a follower of Jesus Christ today, here, and now? Do you show up with humility? Submitting to God in his ways, letting God speak on your behalf or on his own behalf of his church. Speaking of the church, let me bring the third point this morning. I told you about the man, the mystery. Now here's the mission. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purposes. This verse reveals the mission. The mission God calls us to, we, the church, is to make his manifold wisdom known. Manifold, the multifaceted, many layers, lots of insight and depth, wisdom, make it known clearly. The wisdom being God's purpose, God's eternal plan, God's plan for salvation for every one of us, forgiveness for every one of us through Jesus Christ. Paul says that God's part of God's plan is now for the church, you and I, to go and make that message known to our world. We're to make it known, I believe, in some of the ways Paul did, humbly, passionately, clearly, relying on the Holy Spirit who brings the revelation to lead us by his Spirit into conversations. I heard of a close friend this week, and one of her coworkers suddenly had a stroke. She seemed okay, functioning well, doing okay, but in her mid-30s had a stroke and was incapacitated. And I listened to this friend share about the struggle and the hurt, the shock that set in, and thinking, what do I say to my coworkers? What do I say to my other friends? And this friend of mine trusted the Spirit to speak in the moment, that God would bring words of hope and peace. Because actually, that person attended one of our Christmas in concerts. Maybe they picked up the truth about Jesus. Are we as a church making the wisdom of God known through the events, the services, the experiences, our conversations that we have day to day with one another? What is revealing us, the church of Koinonia, revealing in us the wisdom, the love of God, the truth of Jesus Christ? That's what we're to focus on. Let me bring this message together with a few questions for you this morning. Paul was the man. You are the man or the woman hearing this message. The mystery is Jesus made known. The mission is for us as a church to pick it up and make it known to the world. How has this mystery changed you and inspired you? Has it? Our worship time, our prayer times today had moments where we paused and just listened to God. Take moments this week to pause and listen. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. And ask God, God, am I reshaped by this mystery message, this message of Jesus? Ask God, how is this mystery inspiring me and impassioning me to live it out in this pandemic time when people are needing hope, when people are discouraged and divided over issues? How is this message settling you in you to come across sincerely and authentically to the world that we live in that needs to hear about God's hope? And then think about applying that the mission is for us as a church. How are we going to administrate this good news, this revelation from God? Well, I want to encourage you that your leadership is taking time. We are taking time for significant ministry strategy discussions, just like Paul had in his time, for how can we make this known online? How can we make it known in person? How do we make this message known for all people that they may believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I'm going to pray for us before I finish today. And part of my prayer is going to be inviting God to humble us, to hear his Spirit, and to follow his lead. Would you just posture yourself as I pray? And then at the end of my prayer, take a few moments longer for you personally to listen to God's heart. Father God, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God of Paul, Trophimus, and the believers in Ephesus. God, we believe you are the eternal God that is still alive and here for us now in this year and this time. For us at Koinonia, for us in KW, for us in Canada, and beyond. God, we ask that you would continue to make the revelation of your Spirit known to us. We humbly submit to you our soul, our mind, will, and emotion. We submit it to you, Lord Jesus. All I am is yours. Speak to us that you might be able to speak through us. We love you, God. We thank you for Jesus. And we are excited to live for you today and this week, knowing that you are the hope that this world needs. I pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We want to encourage you to let the Holy Spirit sink today's message into your heart, to let it transform you and bring new life. If you want to learn more about Koinonia, you can go to kcf.life to get connected. Thank you for being a part of our community. If today's message encouraged you, we would love for you to rate it and review it and share it with a friend. We love you. Let's continue to build God's kingdom together.